Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And I'm Richard Porter.
This is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things. I find a little bit gravelly today, although not that bad now that I've chugged down an effervescent vitamin C, which is always, it's my sort of journalist survival kit when you're burning the midnight oil.
I was going to say, if you've gone to the Barocca, does this mean that things are...
Yeah, it's your instant stage one tune, isn't it? It's just sort of power pour, additive, fuel additive. It just clears things up.
Yeah, Red X for your gut.
It is. It's Red X, mouth Red X. It's exactly what it is. Yeah, I feel a little bit better.
Does it do what it's claimed to do, though? I'm sure there's some benefit to it, of course. But I remember years ago that a friend of mine used to share a flat with a nurse called Fran. And she was a bit crackers for a lot of reasons. She was the one who, another friend of ours taught her to drive. She was learning to drive. She really needed to learn to drive because it'd be easier for her to get to work. And so she'd got a car already but couldn't drive it. And a mate of ours took her out. Fran was Welsh.
Yeah.
This is only relevant because I'm going to do the accent in a minute. That my mate Dave went, turn here. And she immediately turned and went over the pavement.
Oh,
wow. And he went, whoa, stop, what the hell are you doing? And she went, you told me to turn. And he went, not immediately. And she's like, well, you should have been clearer. And she almost
over the pavement.
Over the pavement, over the corner, like a big wide curb. And went over the pavement, over the corner, and almost ran over an old deer outside a shop.
Bloody hell. Bloody hell.
The reason I bring up the vitamin C thing is because I once had a cold, and I was around their flat. And I went, oh, I'm going to have one of these, you know, vitamin C drinks. Try and shake off this cold.
Yeah.
She went, don't bother with those, you'll just piss it out. And it's always stayed with me.
It's, well, most of it.
She said, eat a kiwi fruit. And I don't particularly like kiwi fruit, so I didn't.
Well, kiwi fruit are very good. Obviously, they come from New Zealand a lot of the time, so it's quite a lot of air miles of kiwi fruit. But I won't go into that in depth. I don't want to wee on people's parade for their morning salad. But, yeah, I think you probably do bypass a lot of it, but you take on what you need, Richard. You take on what you need.
Well, that's it, isn't it?
And that's what it's about. I've got black coffee here because I haven't got any milk in the house because I've been away for quite a while. And so I'm just doing a combination of effervescent vitamin C, black coffee. And I was driving back last night from where I was off of Polestar 3 launch, and I thought of a great new name for a fictitious NASCAR driver. It's Richard Pictures.
Richard Pictures.
Yes. Hey.
That's an incredible name.
AKA Dick Picks.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, I'm thinking Ricky Pickers is quite a good name for a NASCAR driver as well. Or Ricky Pickies.
Oh, Ricky Pickies, I like that.
Ricky Pickies.
Ricky Pickies.
Now, here's something, a little call out to just
guys,
men generally. But it's inexplicable to me why the Richard Pitcher has any traction whatsoever, because
the Richard Pitcher,
the gentleman's area does not photograph well.
No.
It's just a known fact. It doesn't. And I'm always staggered talking to female friends particularly about the number of times that men think it's appropriate to send through
a Richard Pitcher.
Pickies.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Gosh.
As a friend of mine who is sort of on the dating scene, and she said that she gets loads of them. Like one time she went on a date with this bloke, had a very nice evening, few drinks, all very amiable, said goodbye. Yeah, oh no, I'll message you. And she was just on her way home. Bing! He sent her a dick pic.
No way. After a dinner date?
I know, it's nuts, isn't it? You just go, well, that's not going to seal the deal. That's just like,
what an awful idea.
I think it was the same person told me that there's a great comeback for that. I mean, it's not actually not very pleasant, is it? But if you go to try and just brush it off,
yeah.
The best reply is, "Oh my God, is that a child's penis? I'm calling the police." Anyway, yes, men, dick pics, don't bother.
Well, it's not what I was intending to talk about, Richard. Pictures.
No.
But,
Well, first of all, let me ask you. So, yeah, you had quite a week last week, didn't you? Including going to Denmark to go and see the new Polestar 3.
Yeah, I was one of quite a few world media. It was a very large event, this, the Polestar 3, Copenhagen. And, really, really glitzy and, as you'd imagine, quite stylish. And it was good fun.
Why had they chosen Copenhagen?
It's a good question. I actually didn't ask that. I think they found a train shed big enough and slightly grimy, but also stylish enough to warrant to sort of carry the style, the panache of Polestar.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because Polestar, they're sort of technically Swedish, but at the same time, they're not, are they? Because they're owned by a Chinese company. Is that car going to be built in China?
It is, and eventually in America as well, on the Volvo American line,
okay.
Which I can't remember what state that's in.
A state of flux.
Yeah.
I don't know, actually. Where is it? It's not Alabama. I think they were building S60s there, weren't they? The S60 we were getting here was built in America, because I worked out at one point, it's like most Volvos weren't built in Sweden, because a lot of the stuff was coming from, I think the S90s were coming from China, and the S60s were coming from the US. There might be something
else. I can't actually remember. But people will be shouting at their podcast speaker now.
So the 3 is built in China. The company is sort of notionally Swedish, but then actually quite a lot of the engineering was done in the UK. Is that right?
Yeah, there's a whole design team of engineers for Polestar stuff in the UK. I don't know how much of the 3 was done in the UK, but certainly the forthcoming 5 and the 6, which are the aluminium chassis ones, which are 800 volt, which will be obviously more expensive. So the 5 is going to be like an e-tron GT, kind of four-door, low-slung, Taycan-ish thing. And then the 6 is confirmed as a 2+2 cabrio, which we've seen pictures of. And that is based upon the 5's architecture. And that, I think, is all been engineered in the UK. Not built, but kind of engineered and developed. So the 3 that I went to see, is they're calling it an SUV, and I can explain this to you, the confusion within me at the press conference, because there was quite a lot of contradiction, which I didn't understand, and I didn't know whether it was just me not understanding it. And the chap, the CEO, Thomas Ingenlath, I keep forgetting how to say his surname, Ingenlath, who's German, but he's definitely taken on the visual moniker of a stylish Swedish person.
Mm.
And he did look very immaculate both times I saw him. And he's Liam Neeson. He's a younger Liam Neeson from Deutschland.
Well, he's got a very specific set of skills.
Yes, he has, I think. and one of them, certainly in the queue at the press Q&A, was pausing for an exceptionally long amount of time after people asked him a question, to the point where I thought there'd been a technical breakdown. And do you know what it was? I think he was, in public speaking terms, it was the sort of smart gearbox response.
Oh, okay.
I've pulled out of a junction, but I'm not using I've used a lot of throttle. What's going to happen next?
Yeah.
And it's now you have to count to 5 slowly.
Our current Prime Minister does that, though, doesn't she? She's got like a satellite delay to her brain, even when she's being interviewed by someone who's sitting opposite her.
I think she's trying to work out whether she's going to be made a fool of before she opens her mouth.
I was going to say, current Prime Minister, I mean, it's Monday, could be gone by tomorrow. Who knows? Depends when you're listening to this, I suppose.
Don't think about it, listeners. Don't think about it.
No, it's not. We're not here to do politics. We're here to do, does the boss of Volvo look Swedish? And
so it was very glitzy. There was some good chat on stage, almost a little bit Apple-esque, Steve Jobs spec. And lights were low, and the back music for a montage was like a funk and soul version of The Age of Aquarius, which is a quality tune. I do like that tune.
Yeah.
It's just so out there. But The reason why I'm saying all this is because he made a point of saying the Polestar 3 is an SUV. People like SUVs, we know that, blah, blah, blah. And it stems from, we think, the horse rider. People riding the horse, they can see above everything, they feel safe, they're in a commanding position. So we've taken, and there was like a sketch on the screen of a person on a horse. Mm. And then they said, so we've taken this idea of sitting up here, like in a traditional SUV. And what we've done is we've lowered the roof line and brought the person down a bit. And then we've made the back a little bit more fast back. And then we've done this. And then within about 2 minutes of this explanation, I'm just scratching my chin going, hang on, you've just said it's an SUV, and now you've just taken away all of the things that make something an SUV to then make it another type of car. So why are you saying this? I don't follow.
People like pizza. So we made a pizza, but then we took away the cheese and the tomato sauce, and we replaced it with minced meat, pork and beef, all in a, but put the tomato sauce in that. And then we took away the bread and replaced it with spaghetti. So you made a spag bowl then? No,
that's
people
not
like
that.
Pizza.
That's right. So really, to me, it's an SUV in name and name alone. Mm. Now, that doesn't make it a bad car, though. To me, that makes it better. But anyway, this chat was very interesting. And in the press Q&A, because it went on a bit, this event, it was quite...
They do, don't they?
It was quite... I mean, it was fun, don't get me wrong. And I have to say a big thank you to every person that came up to me and said how much they enjoyed this podcast. And there were people from many corners of the flat earth, many... different people, Australians, Americans, Scandinavians. Honestly, it was lovely. I think if you'd been there, Richard, there would have been a little bit of worship for you. So next time you should come too, I feel.
That's nice.
Not that we're not looking for worship, just so you know.
No.
Think that. But it was really, really lovely.
It's just nice to know that people are out there listening.
Yes.
And take the time to come and say hi. On that note, I should say a huge thank you to everyone who bought tickets for our next live show at Bentley, because they sold out really, really fast.
Wow.
More than half of them went. So we put them on sale, Friday before last for patrons. So they had the weekend to dive in there. More than half of them went to patrons, and then they went on general sale on Monday, and it was like by the afternoon, they're all gone. So thank you to everyone.
You lovely people.
And we'll see you a couple of weeks or so, the 2nd of Nov, at the Bentley Factory. Sorry to anyone who tried to get a ticket and couldn't. We will announce details of the next live show very soon, and then hopefully the one after that. We're doing...
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
And usually for us,
that's
we're doing
how we
some
do
sort
it.
Of forward planning on this, because it seems like there are more people who want to come to hear us doing this shite in a room. So we will be moving about the country for our next shows. More details when we can release them.
We're not calling it a tour, but that's generally what happens when you're on tour. You move around the country and then you do the same thing in different areas. That's what we're going to do. Oh, I need to say thank you again to Bentley for actually opening the doors and letting us turn up. So.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see the product, the factory, you know, the end of the line, as it were. Mm. So not that song by Boyz II Men, which is a really shit song.
Yes, it, is, isn't
it? It was on the radio when I was driving to the airport the other morning, and I hated it then, and now it's even worse.
It's so syrupy, isn't it? It's just syrupy.
It's overly fluttery in places where it's someone clearly exploring their vocal range and just proclaiming it to everybody for no good reason.
Yes.
Now, there's nothing wrong with being a talented singer at all, but it's a bit like the sort of overactive throttler with the dump valve that sounds like a sort of a pigeon or a songbird. You know those people where they're constantly fluttering it. Exactly that.
Yeah.
And they're on and off the throttle so much. You're like, you clearly don't need to drive like that. You're just telling everyone that you've got a partridge blow-off valve.
I don't know. I think it's like it's one of those cars where it's got a switchable exhaust and they've switched it into full farty mode and then they just keep clogging it unnecessarily in low-speed environments. You know, someone with an F-type.
They're often the diesels with the induction kit, which sounds like a sort of really gurgly kind of drain in a sink or a wash basin.
Oh, yes.
At the front end. You know, there's loads of gurgle and then there's loads of whistle.
I heard one of those the other day.
Yeah.
From another street. I was out walking and there was just, I heard this dirty sound like
it is dirt,
like one of those huge American cross country locomotives that had a baby.
Oh yeah,
like a little Gruffalo's child of a locomotive, just filthy diesel noise, and then it was just a fucking Mark IV Golf.
What about the air brake on a lorry? You know, the emergency air brake. They're always quite exhaust brake. Sorry, so the
yes,
where you basically shut off and starve the engine, and it starts to growl and erupt at you.
They're not They're big on American trucks, aren't they? And they're not allowed.
They're massive.
Signs forbidding the use of the exhaust brake in built-up areas because they are so noisy.
They're extremely. Is that your emergency? Like, oh shit, this thing's not going to stop. Just better shut that bad boy down.
Well, I think that's probably because if you were coming sort of, you know, off the back end of the Appalachians or something, you're going to need a bit of help, aren't you? Otherwise, the brakes are going to cook if you've got, you know, 40 tons of cheese in the back or something. But
that's right.
Where I live now on the main road, sort of back into Tain, from if you've been out and about in the rest of the country, there's a steep hill on a dual carriageway.
That's exciting. Yeah,
with one of those arrestor bed things, you know, where if you're a lorry and your brakes have failed, you can veer off into that, basically like a big long jump pit.
And, oh, yeah, I know, yeah. It is like a long jump pit.
It's quite badly maintained, this one, because it's all grown up with weeds. I presume that that's no problem at all. You know, an out-of-control DAF XF will, in fact, just bash the weeds out of the way. They're not. It's not an oak tree or anything. It's just sort of leafy plants.
As long as you check that inside the weeds, there's not a shitload of fly tipping.
Yes.
And so
well, there's
when
an old
do...
oven or something. Might help, actually.
There's a load of bed frames and mattresses.
Yeah.
And
just some just takes bin bags of rubble.
Pissy mattresses, just a whole stack of them.
But I don't know if anyone else gets this, that every time I drive past it, there's a tiny part of my brain goes, what would happen if you just drove into that now? I wonder what would happen.
Yeah.
I sort of feel I know what would happen. Well, I don't. I have two theories. Let's say I'm in the heaviest car that I own, which is the Range Rover. It's going to dig in, because I presume underneath the plants, the gravel and sand and whatever else is in there is quite soft still. It's sort of got to
be. It's intentionally so. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
The car is going to dig in immediately and stop with such force. All the airbags are going to go off and my car's going to be ruined.
Oh, do you think it'll be that violent?
Oh, I don't know. I think so. Or the car is, in fact, not heavy enough to activate the sand and gravel and whatever else is in there. And I will, in fact, sort of skip across the top of it and then crash into whatever's at the end of the pit. I think there's a sort of cliff face there. So,
no, it's pissy beds. Yes, pissy mattresses.
Clatter into a load of old mattresses and a fridge.
I think that's how Formula One needs to do some cost cutting. I think it needs to have FIA approved pissy mattresses on each big corner. Don't you think? I mean, you can spray a sort of you can spray a stencil of a sponsor on it. So from the TV's perspective, it'll still look a bit professional.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you could spray some Febreze on it so the track doesn't smell of piss. But yes, I see your point.
No, no,
I'm sure. No, the Rolex Corporation of Switzerland would go, yeah, it's no problem at all. Just stencil our logo onto some piss sodden mattresses. That's very on brand for us, actually.
It shows. Reuse, and we're in a world now where obviously reusing, being ethical about recycling. Mm. So there, it's the common problem, isn't it? Whenever you see fly tipping, it's always a pissy mattress.
Mm.
So so just let's make some constructive motorsport use out of them. Can you imagine? I've got trackside tickets on an extremely hot day. It's I don't know whatever Grand Prix it would be. The what's the Middle Eastern one?
Well, there's a few, but I don't know. Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna. I've got very close corner tickets in Abu Dhabi. But I'm unfortunately sort of this 10 deep of waz soaked mattresses that have been in direct sunlight, and it appears that there's a family of polecats have been living in it for the last 2 years,
yeah,
just liberally spraying it to top it up.
Yeah, at least one of the mattresses has come from a home where someone had a very elderly cat, its self-control was not what it once was. Poor old thing.
And every time, that, despite the speed of the drivers and the fact they've got visors down and everything, when they get to that corner, sometimes their eyes do water and they have to quickly... they have to hit that corner.
You were losing a lot of time through that one corner. Why is that? Oh, I think it's because I was holding my breath.
Yeah, it's exactly. I was closing one eye and just saving the other eye.
Well, there we go. Saving Formula
what are we
one
talking
money
about?
Oh, the Polestar 3. So, yes, speaking of reuse and recycle and things like that, well, all right, I suppose my question, which can be also answered in your Late Break Show video, but did you like it on first impressions?
Yes.
Good. Right, moving on.
I liked it on first impression. Yeah, that was it. I mean,
I saw the pictures and everything, and it looked like they got cars up on sort of platforms, so it's quite hard to get a read on how tall it is. And I haven't watched your video yet, sorry. But
my video fixates on that at one point. But I'm not going to give it all away. But let's just put it like this. It's 10 mil higher than a Volvo XC70.
Oh.
So,
okay.
The question I ask throughout the video is it an SUV? I don't think it is.
They don't want to use the E word, do they?
They can't use the E word or the SW word because they want Americans to buy it and they want the Chinese to buy it. And I think if it's just in a word, I'm cool with that. But I feel like it's nothing wrong with just going, this is a really stylish, Swedish-inspired estate/station wagon, born off the back of generations of attractive estate cars, right?
Is it big generally? It's okay. It's quite long.
It is... Oh, yeah. I mean, I just did all the stats last night. My brain is... Do you want me to go and get my notebook?
No, you don't have to. I mean, curious about it is just that it's...
It's not massive.
Oh, really? It's quite expensive, isn't it? It is.
That it is.
But I saw people in your comments on Instagram, on the Late Break Show account, lots of people moaning about this, and one person going, car like that should be 25 grand. And it's like, it's not 1989. What the hell are you talking about? For fuck's sake, it's still a big family car. I mean, I know it sounds expensive, but all cars are expensive now. You can't get a Golf for 25 grand. You can just, I think, can't you? But that's basically where Golfs and Focuses and things kick off. Most small cars are more than 15 grand. The Yaris doesn't start till 19. It's like, you know, cars are really pricey. The cheapest car in Britain now is the Dacia Sandero again, and it's 12 grand.
That's almost double what it was.
Yeah, that's it. The days of 6-7 grand Dacias, they're long gone. Everything's expensive, or more expensive than you think. So if you're saying that a huge, brand-new, electrically-powered family car from an upscale...
A premium luxury brand.
Like Polestar should be 25 grand... You need to go and bang your head against a worktop because you're talking shite. But it is. I mean, even so, I was trying to guess how much it was going to be when I was looking at the pictures, and then I sort of thought, oh, I bet that's like 65 or something, and it's not. Is it 70 something? I think, is that right?
It's 80. It's 80 sterling, 89 Yikes. Euros. Yeah. But that's the launch edition. So that comes with everything thrown at it in terms of tech and lux. But when that launches, they'll do a single motor and they'll do a slightly pared down version. When I say pared down, it's not exactly going to be sort of Dacia Romanian home market spec. But you know what I mean. It'll probably be, it might be 10 less than that, something like that, I would have thought. So it might be a 70K car, 69K car. I think my biggest take home was the I-Pace was so far ahead of its time. And there's so much interesting construction, disruptive design going on with the I-Pace, and it doesn't get any it doesn't seem to get any recognition.
No, yet, it doesn't, does it?
If that I-Pace had a Polestar badge on it, I think everyone would be pants down raving about it. It'd be full of Richard pictures.
And I also think that the I-Pace shows what happens when you do essentially a bespoke electric platform, because it's got a really stubby bonnet and has this knock on to all the other proportions, and the wheels are really far out, and it looks terrific, and it doesn't look like a petrol or a diesel powered car. Whereas the Polestar 3 has still got a ruddy great bonnet on it, hasn't it? I guess because
it's got a massive.
It's based on an internal combustion platform, and so it's hamstrung. Yeah. And the same is true of like the EQC and, you know, all those sort of
e-tron.
E-tron. Yeah, they've all got internal combustion jeans, and they're not the trousers, and that means they have to have certain proportions.
Internal combustion jeans, that's been a previous podcast, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, the iPaces, it doesn't get the credit it deserves, does it? Little Jag as well, you know, not as big a company as Audi or Mercedes or even Volvo. And and they actually went the distance and made a bespoke electric car platform that looked fantastic. It should have been an absolutely trouser ripping hit.
And and it was probably the best made Jaguar of the last 25, 30 years. Yeah. And also, I don't think they're going to reuse any of its guts for any future models. And if that is the case, I think that is a bit criminal. P.S., I did actually see a picture of Jerry McGovern yesterday that someone shared on their phone, another journalist. Right. And I kid ye not, looked like a stunt double for Brian May.
What? Oh, is this from his curly hair days?
Yeah. I've never seen this before, but I thought if the guitarist from Queen ever needed a stunt double, he would be the guy.
I've been told that Jerry doesn't like people dredging up those pictures of when he had the full...
Oh, it was amazing.
Long curly hair, but...
I mean, from the back, if he was on stage with some pyrotechnics, you know, properly wanking the fretboard, you'd go, that's May. That's absolutely May.
I thought that actually, back in his long-haired days, McGovern had more of a sort of Anita Dobson. It was a bit longer down the back, whereas, you know, Brian May's hair seems to be sort of all contained mostly above the shoulder line. But anyway,
you know things are great when you say, I don't actually think it looks like him. It looks like his wife's hair, not his. Can you imagine somebody saying that to Richard?
The amount of frizzies that must be consumed in the May Dobson household is extraordinary because they've both got really good curly hair. But anyway, I was going to say, no, a sort of more serious point. I'm pretty sure, when did the iPace come out?
I can't remember. Was it 2015? Or 2016?
No, it must have been later than that. Well, hang on. I had one in 2019. I think I got mine. So,
was yours, was it 19, was it?
I think so. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Pretty sure,
okay.
Yeah. Because it only went back last year, didn't it? And so I think it came out 2018, maybe. So I'm sure 18, that car is due a facelift.
It must be.
But
it must be.
I'm wondering if they're not going to bother now because the new... electric Jags, which aren't related to it at all, are coming. Well, I think we're going to see the first ones in sort of 2 years' time. So it's like, will they bother to facelift the iPace? If assuming it's going to die when the new cars come out, maybe it won't, and maybe the new cars won't actually go on sale till like 25 or 26. In which case, maybe it'll be worth them giving it a little just to keep
it. Do you know
fresh.
What? Even if the visually, it's like the BMW i3. It doesn't need a facelift because it still looks a bit out there. All it would need is a tech lift, the iPace.
Yeah.
Ipis. I keep wanting to call it the Ipis.
Apache.
The Apache. Is that what you used to call
yours?
I used to
sometimes call it the Apache. Only to myself. I wouldn't share it because you sound like a twat. But I don't know. It is a fabulous car, but I feel like it's just been allowed not to wither on the vine, but it just doesn't get the credit it deserves. And I mean, you do see them around quite a lot, but it's just, I feel like, maybe that's because you notice them because it is such a striking looking thing and it's held up really well.
It's got a big boot too, the iPace.
Well, it has.
Shallow. Is it shallow?
The floor's quite high, and then obviously the tailgate is quite slopey. Our dog pretty much wouldn't go back there, and I wouldn't. It seemed cruel to make her, so she would just go behind the back seats. The first thing, see, flat floor, same as in the Range Rover, that the dog can lie on the floor as long as your front seats aren't too far back. So,
this is the other interesting point about the Polestar 3 is during the fancy unveil of it, the glitzy unveil, they brought on two dogs. Do you know Polestar have official office dogs?
Do they?
And I don't know what their names are, but there's two quite large dogs. I think they're boxers. They look like boxers. So sizable dogs.
Pole and Star.
Pole and Star, yeah. Terrible Vegas magicians. They're not on the strip anymore.
Off-strip magicians. Because they did that thing with knives once that went horribly wrong.
Oh, yeah, it was awful. Yeah, yeah. They accidentally threw acid into the crowd. Yeah, So Pole and Star, let's call them, these dogs. They welcome them and everyone cooed because, look, there's dogs, brilliant.
But you didn't.
And I was thinking,
I bet you didn't. You,
no,
you're
I, no,
dog
I
skeptic.
Didn't.
You were like...
Hmm. I'm slightly sceptical of dogs.
Bring on some cats.
Put them in an 80 grand car, piss right off. I'm not putting a dog in an 80 grand car. I'm not a moron. Anyway, so these dogs being paraded. And then when I got to look in the boot later on my third glass of Pilsner, ooh, I was thinking, that's not big enough for a large dog, let alone two.
Really?
Because it's a fastback. Oh. Because they've tapered down that roof line again, when I personally think it should have gone down the sort of V70 route. Because if anyone's going to pull off the kind of the boxy elegance, it's a brand like Polestar, a.k.a. posh sporty Volvo, a.k.a. filling the void where Saab was. And even Thomas Ingenlath, a.k.a. German Liam Neeson, even he said that the brand is filling the void of another defunct Swedish manufacturer, i.e. we are the new Saab.
Wow.
And they kind of are as close to Saab as you're going to get. And that's cool. But don't try and tell me that this is like an SUV that has got loads of space. It's got loads of passenger space, but the boot's average at best. It's under 500 litres.
Because the back window isn't super fast, as in it isn't super angled, is it, though? It's just a little bit of a lean. It's more that the roof kind of comes down to meet it. That's the bit, right. I guess, is just absolutely... Just something else. You can't
fit a big dog cage in it. Like, if you're a dog cage person, I figured that... But, like, a cage, last time I checked, is not prismatic or... what's the shade? Toblerone shaped.
Pyramidoidal?
Pyramidoidal, mate. Pyramidoidal. So
pyramidoidal.
Pyramidoidal, yes. Very old Egyptian TV show. I used to watch it a lot. It's like MTV Cribs.
So the other thing, it's, you know, sort of...
Come on in and meet my embalmed mother.
The other thing about the Polestar 3, I was thinking Polestar, you know, they're a Volvo company, so they've got that kind of Swedish pragmatism to them.
Yeah.
But the way that car's designed, I imagine, this is a very boring thing to say, but I imagine that over-the-shoulder visibility is really quite shit because of that, the way the pillar...
The C-pillar swoops up.
Work. Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, like, it's quite claustrophobic up the back there, but...
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what kids are like. It has got quite a high waistline, but that's... I mean, it's pretty common these days, isn't it? And I do think...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's where Tesla have bucked the trend with the low waistline of the Model 3 that we have talked about before, where you can see the driver's knees, pretty much. I mean, put it like this, I definitely wouldn't drive it naked from the waist down because people will just all see and point.
Well, for two reasons. One, you could see everything, and two, a lot of those come with white leather seats, don't they?
Yeah, you don't want to leave any Marmite on the seat. So I'm not being down on the PS3 because I think it's a really good looking car with some excellent details and all that stuff. But I was just trying to have my best journalist head on of going, are they spinning us a bit of a confusing yarn here? It's a good car. There's lots to like. And don't get me wrong, of course it's premium and it's expensive. But is it exactly what you're trying to tell me it is? And then I realised it's something like 40-odd% of the UK own dogs. So and dog people, it's really high, really high. To the point where I'm like, so lots of these people want cars for dogs. Now, there aren't that many cars that are fit for dogs. Not large dog. You mean you've got a massive dog, so you know this better than me. There's actually not that many cars that's fit for a large dog.
I mean, there's
not if you want to put them in the boot rather than the back seat.
Well, exactly. I mean, this is the thing. It's like, the, for example, the boot on my Range Rover is great for the dog if you take the parcel shelf out. But there's an additional thing with dogs, and this is where the SUV trend, it doesn't necessarily get acknowledged, is that dogs sometimes don't like jumping that high up, and particularly as they get older and they can't jump up or down, and it's not good for them.
Yeah,
which is another reason why, as our dog, she's had to have surgery on her leg because she bust her cruciate ligament. I don't want her jumping up and down too much, so she goes in the back of the Range Rover and lies on the floor because it's got a flat floor. But
of course, so does the Polestar 3. Just thought I'd add that.
Does it? Yeah, it's a good thing about EVs. They often do, don't they? That's interesting about... I didn't realise it's 40% of people have dogs, but that's... Yeah, dogs are...
It's high. It's not exactly that percentage, but it's I mean, when I heard it, I was shocked, and I thought, well, that's an important consideration. You know, there's... People spend a shitload of money on dogs. Dog toys, dog accessories, lifestyle things for dogs, holidays that are dog-friendly, blah, blah, blah. I mean, no one ever talks about cat-friendly holidays, so that's immediately prejudice. I'm
hotel
stood next to
cats.
My tortoise. No one talks about a frigging tortoise holiday, do they? So,
yeah. If you went and stayed in an Airbnb and it said no pets, but you took your tortoise, I think you might get away with that.
Oh, yeah, they're immune from the sort of no pets rule, because a lot of people don't even... I think a lot of people don't even realise they're real.
Message you later and go, we found some tortoise shit on the bed.
What No, they're pretty good like that. People just don't... They think they're just, like, radio-controlled dinosaur toys. They don't think they're real... They go, oh, where'd you get that from? Is that from one of those gadget shops in those miserable precincts? Yeah, that's where it's from.
But then if you're in a rented property and the owner came round to check up on things, you could just tell the tortoise, go, quick, hide, and the tortoise would just pop its head inside its shell.
Or just stay still and then,
be a doorstop. Yes.
Yeah. There we go. I know, I forgot to tell you. I went to the large shopping centre, the Trafford Centre, in Manchester last week.
Did you?
I've never been there before, despite living near it when it opened, I think. Was it open in the late 90s?
And yes, I guess so, yeah.
I couldn't get over how chintzy it was. It felt like I was in the house of a clueless but very wealthy footballer.
Yeah.
It was an amazing amount of faux marble, terrible statues.
Yes.
I mean, it was fun. The kids really enjoyed it. But it was so chintzy.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Fascinating.
Sort of, there's a degree of chintz to it that certainly isn't present in, say, the Brent Cross shopping centre. But that's probably because that was built in the 60s, 70s, and it's very grey and dour.
Brutalist.
And before everyone decided that shopping is a leisure activity, and so it needs to be blinged up for some reason or other. So, yeah, no, it's funny, isn't it, the Trafford Centre? I've never... much warm to it.
But. It's so busy. For listeners that don't know where this is, just look it up, Trafford Centre, Manchester. But the inside of it looks like a theme park, what I would imagine like a Disneyland to be like, where they're not quite sure why they've gone for an Aztec or Roman theme, but they're going with it anyway, and they've got quite a large budget, so they've just gone for it.
Yeah.
There's all manner of weird statues and fountains. And
what we thought we'd do is, just here, well, it's got to have, you know, something really classy, and I'm thinking it should definitely have, like, a sort of Egyptian look. Should be really Egyptian. It's like...
Oh,
why?
Probably.
It's near Boots. It doesn't make any sense. I don't care. I want it to be Egyptian. It's just...
You've got to say, they in the Northwest, they'd say it needs to be dead Egyptian. Oh, that is dead Egyptian, that. Oh, that is so dead Egyptian.
People in the rest of the country say dead Egyptian.
I don't know. When I moved to the Northwest, it was one of the things I observed in the just kind of chit-chat. They say, oh, that is dead good, that. That's dead good.
God, I've never even
And I hadn't
that.
Heard it anywhere else before, but I might be wrong.
I feel like since I've moved to basically the West Country, I've noticed things like that. I feel like people around here say, I'm not even a lot. Like, as in, I'm not even joking. You know, it's like, it's just a thing. I'm not even going. No, I don't know. I didn't ask you to.
It's yeah, but no, but. You're in yeah, but no, but country.
Maybe.
Almost.
Yeah.
I'm not even joking, mate.
I had a bloke round the other day to look at something that needed mending here, and I probably understand about one sentence in four, tops.
Oh, wow.
Four tops, I mean, as in maximum.
And, yeah, no, you had the four tops round to do a quotation on some work.
Well, what? I reached out to them, yes. I was like, I'm going to have to tune into this. But then I realised I was doing that thing, you know, there's that sort of, it's a well-known phenomenon of mirroring or mimicking, you know, you sort of, you're talking to someone with a pronounced accent or patterns of speech, if as part of us sort of trying to bond with them as human beings, we kind of meet each other halfway. So you will start sort of almost unconsciously mimicking things they do and vice versa. And I realised the more I was talking to this bloke, the more I was going, oh, I know, mate. I'm not even joking, no.
I know, mate. And you were doing that, were you?
I was getting a bit, and I thought, oh, God, he's going to think I'm taking the piss out of him.
Yeah, he's going to hit you.
Right, mate.
And he's in your house.
What are you saying that for? It was fine.
I know where you live, mate.
He does know where I live. He was around at my house. The funny thing is, I know where he lives, actually, because he told me.
Oh, he told you, did he?
He told me where he lives. Anyway, that's enough.
He told you, mate.
I was going to just... I'm writing things on my list of things to talk to you about, and one of them was... And I know you know this, because you knows it.
I know you know.
You knows this, because I saw you acknowledged it on the social media. That one of the well-known Porsche specialists has worked out a way to put a back seat into a 911 GT3 Touring.
Oh my gosh. Thereby, sweet dreams are made of this. Oh gosh, it's so good.
We've both said that would be like our favourite car if only you could get a back seat in so the kids could come along. And who is it who's done this?
RPM Technic. Mm. All right, I'll mention them in every future podcast if they'll sort me out with not only a GT3 Touring but also the backseat conversion. Honestly, yeah, it's really I'm fantasizing about it.
I know, it's just, and it looked really good. And I saw them saying in the, this was on Instagram, I think, wasn't it? They were saying
it was.
Someone went, hang on, won't your insurer go, that's no good because it's a safety critical area because you've got seatbelts and stuff. But apparently, this is they have got this from somewhere, how they're doing this.
I've got it.
TUV approved.
It is TUV approved. So is I think it is a Sherman. It must be Sherman, mustn't it?
Yeah, well, I assume so. Yeah, because it's TUV or TUV. I don't know if you're supposed to say it's a word.
TUV. I think it's TUV, isn't it?
Is it?
TUV.
RPM Technic. 911 Touring back seat. Oh, well, it seems like, oh, God, no, it's got Renlist, that well-known Porsche discussion site. There's people discussing it. It'll go on for hours.
I was talking to someone at this Polestar 3 event. Oh, I know who it was. It was Ben Samuelson, who ex-PR of TVR.
Yes.
A lovely, jolly chap who I haven't spoken to in ages. And we stood next to, you know, the most recently launched car in the world. And we started talking about the fact that he's got a really old Bristol that he's just paid well over the odds to get back on the road. And he's looking forward to just hosing money away with it. And, but anyway, so we were giggling about that. And he said that he had a Taycan as an everyday car. So that's his yin and his yang motoring, you know, a thirsty eccentric Bristol for the weekend and a Taycan. And he... and I asked him straight out if it was the Sex Tourist version, because it's just like a tick I've got now. I can't ever remember whether it's called Sport Turismo, Cross Turismo, so I just call it the Taycan Sex Tourist. And he just went, what? And then I explained, and he was cool with it. And I did it again to somebody else later that night, who also had a Sex Tourist Taycan. I know. It's bad, isn't it?
It's a little bit bad, yeah.
It's an endearing term because I like the car.
Yes.
Sweet, sweet car. We like it. Car, yes. Lovely.
Yes.
But it does beg the question to me on the subject of SUVs that aren't with the Polestar 3. I'd like to call it Polestar.
Polestar.
Can we call it that? Yes.
Or Palestra.
Oh, Palestra.
Palestra.
Introducing.
All the rest are in a Palestra. Driving to Leicester.
Polestar, number three. I'd very much like it if, you see, when Porsche did the Cross Turismo and then the Sport Turismo,
yes,
I can't help thinking that if I was managing the companies, which is a horrible thought, let's not dwell on that, but Audi should have had the Cross Turismo and it should have been an e-tron all-road GT type affair. Because Audi make socially acceptable, desirable estates in all corners of the globe. That we know, right? In America, that's one of the few wagons that people desire. And if you did that, it would almost suit the brand more, because Porsche could have the spokes Turismo and Audi could have the plastic cladding Sex Tourist. And I think that would probably work better.
I think it would. Maybe.
Is that an idiotic idea or is that...
No, you've had worse. I don't know. I imagine that car companies don't do these things lightly, do they? They sort of research and project, and I guess they just couldn't make the numbers add up. Because you say that Audis are sort of socially acceptable and desirable estates, even in the US, but I wonder how many they actually sell.
Yeah, I suppose it's got to have the kind of RS provenance behind it. So everyone knows it's a weapon of an estate. Exactly. It's not just a, hey, I've bought it because I really enjoy canoeing and stuff. No, I
think this is estates, fast estates particularly, one of those things that people who really like cars get a big lob on for, but do they actually sell that many? It's like the M3 Touring. I'm fascinated to see how that new M3 Touring will do. I bet they'll sell 7.
It's too late
and it's just too obscure. Really hardcore enthusiasts. They're the kind of cars where people talk about them a lot and how much they like them. But in terms of actually putting down money, to buy one, never happens. And then the car, it's the same as like manual gearbox. People go, I can't believe they don't offer in a manual anymore. Did you buy one? No. Well, there's your answer.
It's harsh, but true.
That's just my feeling anyway. But it's true. It's like, and I'm the same. I go, oh God, I really want a fast estate. Do you own a fast estate? No, I don't. So, do you know what I saw the other day though? I was just following a Mercedes CLS shooting brake.
Oh,
do you remember I used to have one?
Yeah, a nice melted banana. I like them.
Oh, it's such a nice car.
Sweet.
I could get back into one of those.
Yeah, but I could.
And a state with frameless doors as well. It was such a good long-distance car as well. So good. And very economical because it's slippery and low because you're a Fanto area. And it was an unfashionable diesel and it loped along the 350 CDI, whatever it was. But yeah, my wife, going back to the thing about sitting on a horse, which is something else my wife's much more enthusiastic about than I am. She just prefers an SUV and... she didn't like the lowness of the CLS combined with its longness, which I might have lied about when she asked if it was a long car.
Did you doctor the specs when you sent it to her?
Oh, it's only the same length as, I don't know, made up something, the dog.
Yeah, and, as a Ford Focus. Yeah,
and then she went, that car's a nightmare to park. You can't find any spaces that fit in it. Well, it's actually a really long car. But then so is a bloody Range Rover, and she doesn't seem to have a problem with that. So
Yeah, you see. See? Do you know what? You've just said frameless doors and a long roof. Interesting, because the car I'm driving this week that I've done quite a few miles in, actually, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it, I've got really into it, is the Volkswagen Arteon. I think it's called the Sport Brake or the...
Isn't it called the Shooting Brake?
Shooting Brake.
Shooting.
And it's an Arteon Shooting Brake plug-in hybrid, FEV. And it's in this, and I know colour's not too important when you're trying to review a car, but it's in this kind of electric blue.
Oh.
And the back, when it pulled up, the rear, I keep looking at it because, A, I think it looks really, really handsome from all angles, but the rear three-quarter, it's as if, you know, when the Sultan of Brunei wakes up and he's a bit bored and then... And then just goes, Bentley, can you make me 5 estates out of flying spurs?
He rolls when he over does in that, bed, just knocks a massive pile of money off his bedside table. He's like, oh, I say, God, get rid of some of this bloody money. There's just money everywhere. It's so annoying.
Then his bedside table is made of money. And it just keeps falling over.
It's always just money falling off.
It's a money table that's... It is made of money.
And he looks down, he realises that his duvet cover is actually just money all stitched together. He's, God, I'm so sick of having all this money.
So if you think of what a current spur would be like with a long roof coach built,
yeah,
it I think it's really similar to how an Arteon shooting brake is. Now, I know the Arteon didn't come out last week. I sort of missed the boat on when it was launched. And, of course, it gets overshadowed by all the, you know, the SUVs that probably people want more of. But I think Volkswagen are quietly killing or quietly killed the Passat.
Well, yes, but then there's a new Passat coming. And what's interesting is that I've seen pap shots of it, and all of the pap shots taken winter testing and at the Nürburgring and all the usual places only seem to show the estate. Leads me to wonder if the next Passat will only be an estate, which sort of seems, you know, boldly unfashionable. But then saloons aren't very fashionable either, are they? So maybe
no,
they're doubling down on the estate version.
Maybe they'll give the saloon to another of their badges, like Skoda. They'll just go, you have the saloon.
They sort of do, don't they? Because the Superb is kind of that, and you can get that
in
hatch and estate, can't you?
Yeah, that lovely split tailgate ting.
They still
which
do
I
that.
Like.
I don't think they do. I don't that, know. Do they?
Oh, they should do, because it's extremely exciting.
Do you know what's weird about the Arteon? Because I drove the Arteon shooting brake a while back in non-plug-in hybrid. You couldn't get it at that point, I think. It
was
I can't remember what engine it was. It was a really nice car, but what was it? I thought was interesting about that shooting brake is that it only came along when they facelifted the Arteon.
That's right.
So the Arteon came out and there was no estate shooting brake, call it what you will. And then suddenly they went halfway through the car's life, they went, oh, do you know what it needs? It's just an odd bit of product planning. And I wonder whether they sort of, yeah, some of their research suddenly went, yeah, people like this car, but they wish it was an estate, so let's do that. Or whether it's just one of those things where it's like the Arteon had to kind of prove its worth before they would sign off the money to release the estate one. I don't know the complexities of these things.
I don't know, mate. I have to say, I really like it. It handles brilliantly. A long journey machine, both myself and children appreciate. And really, I don't know, it's just this car I keep looking back at and I go, it'll do 30 miles EV only, which will work for a lot of stuff, so it's not rubbish. And I'm like, I'm down with this. I am down with this. If I didn't want an EV, but then there really isn't an EV estate apart from the MG5 or the Polestar 3, if you call it that. It takes us back around to the beginning of the conversation. Yeah, and so it's one of those cars which I think probably won't get the time of day from a lot of people, but please give these things the time of day. They're really good.
Yeah.
Ignoring some of the rubbish steering wheel controls borrowed off the
Mark, it's got that touch sensitive toss on it, hasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Eesh. And also, while you're there, again, I mean, it's a car I drove a while back now, but you don't see them yet because they've not been delivered to customers. But the Renault Megane Electric.
Oh.
That is the car that VW should have made instead of the ID3. That's a really good car.
Yeah.
Feels classy, looks good, decent amount of, you know, cabin space versus boot space. I'm down with it. It's great. Renault are doing good shizzle right now. Can't wait for the Renault 5, innit? You know, like the Renault 5 electric thing?
Or the 4 as well. They're going to do a 4, aren't they? 4 concept. Yeah. So there's all sorts going on there.
They're on it. Renault are on it. They're on some sort of keto lifestyle diet, Renault. They're doing spinning every morning at 6 a.m. Yeah, they're those guys.
Is it 3 plus 2? No, wait, that doesn't make sense. There's only adds up to 5. Talking rubbish. I am going to ask people to return to their seats and fasten their seatbelts as I put the flaps down. But before we go, one of the things I just put in my notes that I wanted to bring up is, because it's a bit of an anniversary this week, on Thursday of this week, the 20th of October, will be 20 years since the first episode of Top Gear in the Clarkson Hammond and not May, because he hadn't turned up at that point, but the sort of new Top Gear as it was known at that point. First episode of the first series transmitted on 20th of October 2002.
Bloody hell, that was little did you realise what was about to come.
I know. I just remember blind panic and chaos and just desperately trying to get a TV show on air, not thinking, do you know what, one day this might be quite popular amongst people all around the world. So, it's a weird anniversary that's come around quite quickly. So,
Did you think, and in 20 years' time, not only will I be well known for this, I'll also talk about dick pics on a podcast with a friend of mine?
I don't think I could have imagined that my career would ascend to such heights, but that's the thing. Just goes to show, kids, just dream big. You never know when you'll end up talking about dick pics on a podcast.
It's funny you should say about dreaming big. This afternoon, I have got to go to my son and my daughter's school, and I've got to do a careers talk. I've been asked
really?
To do one, and I'm frigging terrified because I feel like I'm gonna have a sea of resting bitch faces.
Oh my god.
And I don't actually know what I'm going to say. Obviously I can't talk about dick pics.
What are you gonna say?
Well, I don't I think I've just got to talk through like how I got to do what I do, what I believe is the right method. I don't know, Richard. Can you help me?
Oh man, I wish I could. I don't have got time to go there.
I've got to look pro and know what I'm doing and believe.
That's amazing. I once went back to my old school and there's a woman there, it's an old teacher of mine who had sort of become responsible for more of careers stuff. And she said, would you be interested in coming and talking to some of the pupils sometime? And I was like, oh, thanks very much. Yes, I'm sure I would. Yeah. But then she basically went, you know, we've got lots of kids here who might want to do something that's got a clear career path, like, you know, be a doctor or go into the army or something like that. And it's just very simple to go, here, this is what you're going to do. We've got a lot of children here who don't really know what they want to do and they're just a bit aimless and directionless and you could probably go and talk to them. And it was basically a way of going, I remember at school you were lazy and useless, but look, you seem to have cobbled together some kind of way of earning a living, so why not talk about it?
That was basically what she was saying.
I've never gone back and done it. Not because I was offended, but because actually she was absolutely right, but just never. We never managed to sort of coordinate it.
I'm going to say hi to Nick Yekikian or Yekikian. I don't know how to say your surname. I'm really sorry, Nick. But a motoring journalist from LA who had a really good couple of hours of chat and beer. I was supposed to have an early night on the Polestar event because I was a bit broken and I was one of the last people in the room. It's that typical thing of like, how did I do that? And then I had 4 hours sleep. So, which is not enough because the night before I'd had five. So I was hoping to catch up and it just did the opposite of catching up. But it was worth it, Nick. Really good chat. Thanks very much. Enjoyed chatting about car-related matters off of America. And nice. And he is, cool. In the words of David Bowie, he is a young American. So on that, we haven't said on that side of things for an entire podcast.
That's all right. You don't want to wear it out.
No, true. It should be kept in a special blast case.
Yes.
Shouldn't it?
We've both got to put keys into a thing and turn them to it.
We do like the Bugatti speed key. Yes. You've got the Ottsock key. You have to count to three and then twist it.
Anyway, we really should wrap this up. But before we go, I have three things to tell you. They are one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Irate Primate Show, in which Johnny takes the Archbishop of Canterbury on a road trip around the UK's zoos looking for Britain's angriest monkey. Unfortunately, the weather's warm and Johnny's refusal to use the air conditioning means it's not just the apes that are getting aggravated. That was from a listener called Ben Backhouse. I know I said, please don't send any more in. People basically ignored that request. But Ben, in Ben's case, I was going to make an exception because I thought that really amused me.
That is good.
The senior members of the church are called primates.
Is it Justin Welby? Is it still Justin Welby?
It is still Justin Welby, yeah.
Is it? Yes, it is.
My friend Paul, who's a vicar, told me that within the church, the Archbishop of Canterbury is sometimes referred to as the ABC.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Anyway, if made-up shows aren't your thing, then watch the Late Break Show, particularly for Johnny's preview of the Polestar 3.
Yeah.
Second thing I've got to tell you is that I have various books out. One of them is called Boring Car Trivia 3. Please go and buy it. And the third thing I have to tell you is that we probably heard last week the sad passing of Angela Lansbury. But Angela Lansbury's cousin was the man who made Bagpuss.
Really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
It was Angela Lansbury's cousin.
Angela Lansbury's one of those people who's been old forever.
Yes.
Forever.
But sort of like the Queen, in a way. She's always been a sort of older lady. So the fact that when she died, you kind of just went, oh, shit, she was immortal.
Well, thank you for that. Things. And thanks to everybody who listens to this ridiculous piece of shit that we put together. It's true, though, isn't it? And remember, a true hero doesn't use the AC button. I'm just going to put that out there.
All right, we'll come back to that one.
We will. But mind you, I wouldn't today because it's cold. And I've actually sat in a room with just a T-shirt on and the heating's
not
on.
Actually, I'll tell you next week what happens when you try and turn the AC off in my Panda.
Oh, no.
And it's not a no-no, it's just there's a thing. But that's fine. I also, next week, you're going to have to tell us how the careers talk went because I can't wait to hear about it.
I've got to work out what the bloody hell I'm going to talk about. I'm going to be, it's going to be something out of the in-betweeners, isn't it?
Do the full Alan Partridge. Come on and do start doing catchphrases. Do on that side of things and then... some other ones.
Shall I do what Dermot O'Leary does on, is it Britain's Got Talent, where he runs on and sort of does an uppercut punch to the crowd with one leg out and one leg in?
Oh, yes, yes.
You know what I mean. It's a sort of like, come on! A little bit like a more polite kind of Queen at Wembley style stunts.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, it'll fall on such silence afterwards, you won't be able to come back from it.
Or... go full Nick Cage on Wogan.
Forward roll. Was it a forward roll?
Forward roll.
It was a high kick and a high kick.
And you must be wearing a leather jacket.
Oh, yeah.
That all sort of rides up over your head at one point. Just absolutely. And it goes on a bit too long as well.
You've just reminded me that I got shown some pictures of Steven Seagal in Russia yesterday. And Steven Seagal's joining the club, the John Travolta club, of looking like he's wearing a mask of Steven Seagal. It's just amazing. It's like someone has just wiped honey on their face and then thrown creosote and feathers at it. Black feathers. Anyway, thanks for listening to the podcast.
Thanks very much for listening. More of this. This feels like the start of next week's episode. It's dribbling on. But it shouldn't and it mustn't. So thank you ever so much for listening. We'll do this all again next week. Until then, goodbye.
Seagal's face. Honestly. He's got like fuzzy felt eyebrows.
No, but it's like when someone turns into a bad waxwork of themselves. It's just terrible. He could go to Madame Tussauds and just stand really still, and everyone would go, oh, that's a crap one, isn't it? Surprise!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.